Clemson trophies won, which now his brow adorn. Fruit of the mystic rose, as of that rose the stem, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wandering eye at mystery so triumph o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worlds above. Crown him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown him with crowns, as thrones before him sit. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is King of all.
Good morning. The order of service this morning is the order of Matins, beginning on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia.
Oh, come, let us worship the Lord.
For he is our Maker. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come.
We continue with a responsive introit as printed on your bulletin insert. The Lord is your keeper. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. Behold, he who keeps Israel. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Glory be to the Father and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is your keeper. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading is written in the 45th chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him, that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name, a name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord, and who does all these things. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon me. The epistle is written in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us, and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 15th verse. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please be seated as we invite forward the children's choir, followed by the children's message.
Good job singing a cappella. You know what that means? Singing without music. Very good. Hey, you all pay attention to school. She did the lesson. So, how many of you have lots of money? Come on, I know you're rich Lutheran farmers. And rich Lutheran farmers have lots of money. Raise your hands. All of you have lots of money, don't you? Yeah, I thought so. So, therefore, if I show you a picture of money, you'll know all about it, right? So let me show you. Whose picture is this on the down here? Who is that? Down at the very bottom, $1 bill. George Washington. Who's on a $5 bill? Abraham Lincoln. How about on the $2 bill? Any of you ever seen a $2 bill? There's such a thing, by the way. I have some. Anyone know who that is? Thomas Jefferson. How about this man, a $20 bill? Andrew Jackson, very good. Here's a $10 bill. Alexander Hamilton, the first Secretary of the Treasury, not a president. All these other men, except for one more, they are all presidents, except for Benjamin Franklin, up here in the 100. And this is Ulysses S. Grant, famous General Grant of the Civil War in the 50. Now, this is Benjamin Franklin, who was a famous inventor. Remember, he flew a kite? Remember that? You haven't heard about that yet? Ah, you saw it on TV. Very good. So, now I show you a $100 bill because I know you rich Lutheran farmers have lots of these, right? You don't? Well, here's the point. All of this money, does it belong to the man whose picture is on the bill? Does this money belong to them? No, it doesn't. But, in our text today, the Pharisees and the Herodians bring a coin to Jesus, and this is the coin that they bring to him. And it has a picture of a man on it. But you guess what? This money actually belongs to this man. Because in the Roman Empire, everything belonged to the Caesar. Everything belonged to the Caesar. This money, though, printed on it, what does it say on here? Can you see it down here? What does it say? In God we trust. This is a $1 bill, and it says, in God we trust. So our money actually belongs to who? It actually belongs to God. God gives it to the government. He gives it to us. We return it back to God, or we return it back to our government. So all good things come from God, even those $100 bills that all you rich Lutheran farmers have. Right? Yes? Yes? Everything comes from God. So here's the point. God gives us money so that we can take care of our life, so that we can take care of our family, so we can pay our taxes, which God asks us and tells us to do, and so that we can take care of other people also, including pastors, by the way. So that's the importance of money. But there's an even more valuable gift that God has given to us. What's the more valuable gift? Eternal life in Jesus. Jesus is the most valuable life that God has given to us. God gave to us his very Son. And what did Jesus do for us? Vince? He died on the cross, Lexi. Thank you. Lexi, beat you to it. You gotta be fast, Vince. You gotta be fast. So, Jesus has died on the cross for us. And because of that, who do we belong to? Who do we belong to? In your baptism? You belong to Jesus. In your baptism, he came to you and he claimed you. He wrote his name on you. Just like we write on our money, in God we trust. Now his name is written on you, and you can say the same thing. In God I trust. And only in God do I trust. So let's say it together. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. In God I trust. Now all of you say it together.
In God I trust.
Let's fold our hands and close our eyes and let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the greatest gift of all, yourself, for going to the cross for us. And, oh Lord, because you have gone to the cross for us, we trust only in you. Yes, Lord, you are the Lord and giver of life, and in you we do have life. We have life to the full. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the gifts that you give to us in this life, so that we can care for our family and care for our church and care for all of those of whom, O Lord, are in need of our help. Lord, we pray that you be with us and that you continue to watch over us. And all the children said,
Amen!
Remember, we walk back to our seats. Yes? Oh, boy. And you have a lot of money in your truck, don't you? We now sing the hymn of the day.
Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel account of Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees and the Herodians. And this morning we will hear that Jesus renders unto his Father. Please be seated. Finally, the Pharisees have him. They have found the smoking gun. Finally, they have found the one question which Jesus must answer. This is the one question that will trip him up. The trap is ready, and it's about to be sprung with this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? That is it keeping within God's law to pay taxes to the government? Their thought was that if Jesus says yes, then he would be betraying his people, since the image on the coin is of the Roman emperor, in this case, Caesar Tiberius, who claimed, by the way, to be the Son of God, and not only that, to be the high priest of the world. Then, if Jesus says yes, they can accuse him of being an idolater, and he would lose favor forever with the people. They could actually charge him with blasphemy. Finally, they've got him. But wait, if he says no, then he could be charged with betraying Caesar. And he could be tried by leading an insurrection. He would be accused of sedition. And the punishment, such a punishment for sedition, is death by crucifixion. Our Lord's enemies just don't believe. They can't bring themselves to repent and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's proven it over and over and over again that he is their Messiah. The trap that they have set is a trap that will actually ensnare them. Jesus, again, turns the tables on these religious leaders. You would think that they would have known better. They've tried this many times, and each time Jesus turns the tables and they are left walking away, embarrassed and foolish, which they are. Therefore, Jesus asked his own question before answering their question. And he says to them, "Show me the coin for the tax." So there seems to be a brief pause as the Pharisees are looking for a coin. And they come back with a coin and they give to him a Roman denarius, just like you see on your bulletin cover this morning, which, by the way, isn't the right Caesar, but that's beside the point. Jesus tells them as he holds the coin in his hand, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And their minds, dear ones, their minds are so fogged with hatred. Their eyes are blind and their ears are deaf. They gladly answer, "Caesar's." They have fallen into their own trap. They have just admitted that as they pay the tax, they are the one blaspheming God. And if they refuse to pay the tax, they are the insurrectionists, those who are being seditious. Our Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah, ensnares them with their own word, Caesar. Therefore, he says, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's." In other words, give to Caesar that which has Caesar's image and inscription, and give to God that which has God's image and inscription. And this is where most people stop with this pericope. This is where they stop. Render unto Caesar. And today, Christians all over the world are going to hear about how you should be rendering unto Caesar. And they turn this into law. This is all law, by the way. And this is what they do. Why do they use this term? Why do they stop with render unto Caesar? Because the law is easy. The law is something that we understand. After all, rendering unto Caesar is something that we don't like to do. We don't like paying taxes, even though God says that we are to pay our taxes. Remember your catechism? The fourth commandment. We understand, and it's not difficult because it's God's law. The law tells us that we are required to do this. It's our duty to pay our taxes. It's our duty to honor our government, whether you agree with it or not. We are even to defend our government, which is why we have veterans among us. And there are even veterans who are resting across the road who have given their last full measure of devotion. We usually don't go to the last half of Jesus' statement, though. What does it mean that we are to render to God that which is God's? What exactly does that mean? We rarely consider, or we even don't even really think about this question. It doesn't even come to our mind. What has God's image and inscription on it? Well, let's go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember what you have been taught? When God created Adam and Eve, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." God inscribed, wrote upon Adam and Eve's hearts, His word, His law, His holiness, His name. Satan came, and in his lies, led Adam and Eve to sin. They turned from God. They abandoned His word. They abandoned His law. They abandoned His holiness. They abandoned His name. They had lost His image. They rendered unto Satan that which belongs to God. In our original sin, we do the very same thing. We render unto Caesar that which belongs to God. We place our full and complete trust in government. Many trust in government more than trusting in God. Many, dear ones, you know this, many, too many, look to government for nearly everything as long as it's not against the law. They are taught, as long as it's not against the law, then it's okay. Uncle Sugar can be your gravy train. Have you rendered unto Caesar that which belongs to God? Why? Why would you forfeit your citizenship in heaven for a citizenship that will not and cannot save you? Why would you put your full and complete trust in a human prince, be it a man or a woman? In them there is no salvation. Render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and to God that which belongs to God. There is only one man. There is only one who can and has saved you. There is only one man who has rightly rendered unto God, rendered unto His Father, that which is His Father's. Jesus rendered everything, even His own life, so that you and I can be reconciled to His Father and to our Father who is in heaven. By Jesus fully rendering unto His Father, our Father, your Father, we are truly His children. Jesus has restored what was lost way back there in the Garden of Eden. Jesus has restored to you and to me the image of God in us. He is restored in us by the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As you were washed clean, He has restored your relationship with Him. You didn't do this. He did it. He suffered upon His cross. And He marked you as His dear child in your baptism. And in shedding His holy and precious blood, He continues to pour out His lifeblood to you here from this altar. Jesus is continually rendering unto you just as He rendered unto His Father. So you see, there is a prince that you can place your full and complete trust. A prince who will not lie to you, especially in an election year. There is a prince in whom you can place your full and complete trust, who will not waste everything that you render unto them. Place your full and complete trust in the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Render to God, which is God's. Believe and trust in Jesus alone, for He is God, and in Him is full and complete salvation. So lastly, dear ones, we end with an exhortation, with words of encouragement. Especially in this day and age, it is important for you to hear, do not be afraid. Even with all the evil that surrounds us in this world, there has never been a better time to be His child, to be a father, a mother, to raise children, to worship God. For God is God. He is the God of heaven and the God of earth. And Jesus, oh, you know this well, He is risen. He is still your brother. Jesus will always be your friend. He will always be your Lord. Trust in Him. Trust His Word. And trust His promises. Continue to be attached to Him. Come and receive from Him that which He gives you freely in His body and blood. Come and hear His Word and hear as He proclaims to you today, and as He will always proclaim to you from this pulpit, I pray, that He has something very plenteous for you when you come and repent of your sins. He who is your Prince will announce to you that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Please rise for our canonical hymn, which is hymn 240. Let us pray. O Lord, deliver your people by your power, and grant to us grace sufficient for all our needs and for the needs of all people. O Lord, we pray that you will open the eyes of the blind by the light of your word, and to open the ears of the deaf with the voice of your holy gospel, that you will clear the way for all people to know the riches of your grace, the gift of forgiveness, and the promise of life in Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. O Lord, we pray that you will raise up evangelists who will witness the gospel, for preachers who will testify to the mighty act of deliverance on the cross by which we have been saved, and that you would bless your church and all church workers who serve us in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray that you will teach us to trust not in our works, but in your holy word, and for a steadfast faith to endure in time of test, of trial, and of tribulation. O Lord, we pray that you will bless our nation with peace and harmony, that you will bless our president, governors, all legislators and judges, and those who protect and defend us against all the enemies of our land, and those who protect us in every village and town and city. O Lord, We pray that you will heal the sick, give relief to the suffering, grant comfort to those who mourn, and give peace to the dying. We especially pray for Esther Swire, Ed McCullough, Kenny McCullough, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Ruth Becker, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, Nikki Strait, Megan DeArmond, and Bud Sheets. O Lord, we pray that you will protect and encourage those who serve us as doctors and nurses, as medical researchers and those who work to end disease, and for those who care for people most vulnerable. O Lord, we pray you will renew our lives of prayer and devotion, impress upon our hearts and minds the necessity to study your word, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your holy word, especially as we face all the trials and the temptations of this evil world. O Lord, we pray that you, O Lord, that by your will you will lead us to be good stewards of your creation, so that we may faithfully use all your gifts with grateful hearts, that we may honor you with our words and with good works for your glory. O Lord, we pray that you will help us to remain steadfast and immovable in faith, and that we may endure to the day of your Son's return, when we shall be reunited with those who have gone before us with the sign of faith and now rest from their labors, to live in your eternal presence and sing your praises without end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Father, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Please be seated. Just to look real quickly at the announcements, and as you notice, the major announcement that we have is Ladies' Aid. Remember, Ladies' Aid will be on this Tuesday at 7 p.m., and all the ladies of the church are certainly invited. And then following Wednesday at CWS, our calendar really there hasn't changed a whole lot, but it's going to get more busy as we start moving into November and December. Only other thing that I have to announce is you'll notice a little change up here at the altar. I've been doing some study. Yeah, sometimes I do that. I do study at times. And as I was studying for this sermon, I ran across something very valuable, that the altar here is not a table. We do not place things on the altar as we would do at home. We don't place things up here willy-nilly. The only thing that we should place on the altar is those things which God uses or that we are returning back to Him, thus our offering plates. So from now on, deacons, the offering plates don't go if they're empty up here. They only go here when they're full. We're returning to God, which belongs to Him. So empty offering plates go here, not on the altar as a table. Only other thing that's left on the altar, the Lord's body and blood, of course. And then the two candlesticks, which represent, I know you know this as Lutherans, His human nature and His divine nature, and then the Word itself, Jesus as the Logos. Those are the gifts that He gives to us, and His gifts always come from the altar. He's always serving us from the altar, and whatever we put on the altar is what we use or what we give to serve Him. Therefore, a little change, but you'll get used to it. So remember, the offering plates, when they're empty, are always here, never sitting on the altar. God's grace to you all.